Hi, everybody. This is Eve Harrow on Rejuvenation for the Land of Israel Network. Today is September 4th, 2016, and the first day of Elul, 5776. It's the month before Rosh Hashanah, the last month of the Jewish year, and we could feel the days getting shorter here. It's interesting, because when you keep Shabbat, then every week you know that the sun is setting just a little bit earlier than it did the week before, because you know when Shabbat is coming in. And so even if you're, like, you get a sense anyhow that the days are getting shorter, but this way we really, really know. Every week Shabbat comes in just a little bit earlier. We're feeling the beginnings of fall here in the land of Israel. The leaves just starting to turn color, just starting to fall. The evenings, a little bit breezier. The heat of the summer is passing. And it's a time of, it's a month of reflection, of penitence, of thinking about the last year, of thinking about the year to come and the things that we would like to accomplish that maybe we didn't get to accomplish in this last year. And that's why I would like to really start off this show with what they call a Hakarat HaTov, or acknowledging something good. And that is to Tamar Yonah, who is the head of, or she runs Israel News Talk Radio. And she interviewed me last week about my upcoming trip. It was lovely. She wrote me a note and she said, I see that you're going to the States. I see that you're speaking. And she said, what you're doing is Hashem's work, which is what we're all doing here on the different radios and the different podcasts coming out of here in Israel. We're trying very hard, not enough of us, but many of us. And Tamar is an old friend. And she said, I want to have you on my show, and I want you to talk a little bit about where you're going to be and what you're going to do, because I feel that you're doing it for all of us, which was really fantastic. And the link to that, if you're interested, if you don't get enough of me, I mean, really, is probably on my Facebook page or something, but you can write to me anyway, and I'll send it to you if you can't find it on your own with one click. And you can write to me always, anyhow, at eve@thelandofisraelnetwork.com. Always happy to hear from everybody. So in the spirit of Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first day of Elul, doing a lot of thinking, reading also Rabbi Sacks's book, Not in God's Name, about religion and about how religion is misused, and does religion breed violence, or does actually violence, is religion a way of minimizing the inherent violence in people? All kinds of things always in my very eclectic life and world, and the massive things that I do, enjoying the grape harvest season. Took people out last week to the Shomron to talk to vintners and to be in the vineyards and to really see the peak of what's happening now in the land of Israel. Itself a blessing, as it says in Jeremiah, you know, one day to replant the vineyards in Samaria. But not just that, to understand the passion that they have and the science behind it and all the different things that they're doing. And really, you know, just it's a little thing and it's a little trip, but as so much of what we do here in Israel, it shouldn't be. It really is a miracle. All the little things, just living, just waking up in the morning and having that cup of coffee and looking around and thinking about what we want to do during the day. Nothing to take for granted anywhere in the world. There's so many people who are suffering terrible things not so far from us. And so to get up in the morning to say Modeh Ani, to thank God for giving us our souls back. One of the prayers that we start to say in Elul, and we say it. It's something, an additional prayer that we say. We say it until the end of the holiday season. Is one of the Psalms, right? Probably attributed to David, to King David, the David. Okay, the David who I have to say, who is the statue that I saw when I was in Florence. I'll talk about Florence in a few minutes. This is going to be one of those jumping all over the place shows. Sorry, guys. That's how my brain works. And I had put a picture on my Facebook page of me standing in front of the statue of David. And I got like these little comments. And I just want to say that it wasn't about him being naked. You don't even notice it when you're there. All right. It's a beautiful work of art. You look at the sculpture in marble and you cannot believe that a human being created that. And that's really, as somebody who's really not very artistic, that's really what struck me, is just, wow, how did Michelangelo do this. But to get back to the David of the David, okay, and not the statue of David, which of course is, you know, we don't really know what it looked like. So what we say is this one is called, it starts off, Le David Hashem Ori V'Yishi B'Mira, which, you know, would throw back into this being David, King David writing it. And one of the lines, there's many beautiful lines in here, but one of them that speaks to me, as so much of the Psalms speak to me, Ki avivi mi azvuni v'Hashem yasveni, that, you know, even if your parents, like, leave you, and it can be in a physical sense, it can be in an emotional sense, it can be in any sense that you want, Hashem never leaves us. And that's something that speaks to me a lot with my personal history. And Hashem's love that I have felt since I was very, very little, unconditional love, and that has gotten me through times that weren't so easy. It's also made me a better parent. I'm sure I'm not the only one who knows that the greatest teachers that we will ever have, and I know I've had some outstanding teachers in my life, I've been really privileged, but the greatest teachers that I will ever have been my children. And to try and be a better person, to try and be better for them, and be what they need. And when you have seven, then it's not so simple because each one of them needed a different mother. But to look at the love that Hashem gives to all of us, that really, that unconditional love, which is not to say that we should be able to get away with things, or as Rabbi Sacks's book talks about, that to do terrible things in his name, that's really not what it's all about. But love has to be tempered with justice and with mercy. There has to be a balance in there, just like with parenting. Okay, if you just give your kids whatever they want, you just love them unreservedly, which is very important, but there still has to be education, there still has to be boundaries. And that's what it's all about with Hashem, and that's all about what we think about this month as we move into Rosh Hashanah and we move into Yom Kippur, is that kind of balance in our lives. You can't go too far one way and too far the other way. And this has also struck me because I was in Italy a couple of weeks ago, in Rome and then in Florence, and trying to talk to people who live there about what we see happening in Europe from Israel. Because we're sitting here in Israel and we see that the Europeans are going too far, at least this is my opinion and that of a lot of Israelis, going too far on the love aspect, on the love the stranger, which is really very important injunction, and maybe in terms of the Bible, one of the more important things. It's easy to love yourself. It's easy to love your community or your family. It's when you treat the stranger well, then that really shows the kind of people you are. And that's very important, and it's something that we all struggle with, but it's something that we really see all the time. And that's like what Passover is all about. You are strangers in a strange land. So when strangers come to you, you should be good to them. But even with there is a going too far. So we're sitting here in Israel and we're looking at Europe, letting in people that will possibly destroy European civilization. And I was talking to people there and saying, don't you see what's going on here, that you are in danger of losing what you have? It's not people coming in and then, like, you know, being able to, like, meld them in and take care of them. If you don't respect where they're coming from in their heads and the goals that they have, you could end up losing what you have. And despite myself, I really like Italy. I don't want to like Italy. I really don't. In general, like, I don't want to like Europe because of all the things that they've done to my people over the years. And you go around different places in Europe and, like, this is the town, this is how the Jews survived. And for a while they had a good, and then there was a ghetto, and then there was, you know, this ruler or that ruler. They didn't like the Jews, and then there was a pogrom, or then they got thrown out, and then and this is like the repeat of Jewish history for at least 1,000 years in what we would call Europe. Okay, so Italy was possibly better than some, possibly not, because of its Catholic bend, a lot of times not, but a lot of times the individuals were good. And that's a whole other discussion, like, you know, World War II, that the Pope was a complete misery, but it was the nuns and some of the priests and the little parishes and the people on the ground who were actually really amazing and saved a lot of Jews. So I don't want to like Europe, and I have friends, and here actually is a little shout out now to my good friend Zahava, who is remarrying today, and I wish her and Norman, like, forever and many, many years of happiness together. I'm so glad that they found each other. But she, for example, who is the child of survivors, won't go to Europe. because she just feels like it's one big death camp for the Jews. So I understand where she's coming from, especially with her background, because we all are affected by the things that we grew up in the context of our lives. But I love the civilization of Europe, and especially Italy, but not only. The buildings, the architecture, the art everywhere. Although I have to say that one of the things that you see in Italy is a lot of, obviously, Marys and Jesus with the six packs. I don't know, this baby was like in really good shape. But, you know, I guess all the artists put their own ideas. Of course, that's what being an artist is. But I really, really like it. And I walk around and I feel sad because I'm thinking you're being too open. You're being careless. At what point is it being careless? And to a certain degree, arrogant that what you have will always be the way it is. And and as Jews, we know that things can change very, very fast. It's something that frightens me about North America also, or about other Western countries that I go to. This sense of like entitlement, not appreciating what has gone into building and creating what you have, the people that have suffered, that have died in order to protect those spaces, and that you have to keep watch. You don't want to keep watch all the time and be like crazy, 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 and not, you know, not enjoying your daily life because you're so worried about what you're going to lose. That's something, again, that here in Israel, we can teach the world that we enjoy life very, very much. And it's such a creative and vibrant country. But we also know we're always on guard. We always have to be on guard because there are people who want to take it away from us. But you do it in a way that's not in your face, and you have to trust the powers that be to make sure that everybody has a job, everybody has a role to do. And what's interesting is that virtually all the people that I spoke to in Italy don't like America, especially the young people. They feel that America uses its power too much, sticks its nose into places where it doesn't belong, which I found curious because as an Israeli, especially in the last decade, I've also felt that. And as much as I love the United States and very much will always be part of the United States, feeling like the government, I'm not talking about the people, but the government also gets involved in things that they shouldn't get involved with, okay? Don't tell Israel where to build apartments, all right? And don't impose things on people with whom you don't understand and get involved in places to try and, even though democracy is a wonderful idea, you also have to understand the mores and the cultures of the places that you're getting involved with. So all of this is like going through my head all the time, in this kind of balance between justice, mercy, and love and power that you need to use it to protect, right? Again, as parents, we do what we can to protect our children. But you don't want to overuse it. And so much of that wisdom is found in the Tanakh, is found in that Bible, over and over, the balance between, you know, the stranger and your own and who you are and how much does God love you and he loves everybody else. And you're not greater than anybody else, but we have different jobs in the world. And that's definitely what it means, at least for me, to be a Jew, is not being any better than anybody else. But that God gave us a certain job that we have to do, a certain example that we have to set, a certain responsibility. So like in Florence, for example, which is a really beautiful city and looks so civilized. But if you know a little bit of the history, and we took a tour there because I'm being a tour guide here. So everywhere we go, I have to take a tour because you have to talk to the locals. They know so much more than just pulling it out of a book, or it doesn't matter how much you look it up. Still talking to someone who lives there and being able to ask questions and put things in context is so important. So you have this great family there, the Medicis, who ruled Florence for hundreds of years. And they left behind a lot of the art and a lot of the buildings, and that's all wonderful. But when you read about the history, when you read about when they controlled it, and it was a feudal system and certain people were just like totally repressed, and you go into the museums and you see tapestries and you see art, but then you know that there were different guilds and some people were paid pennies to create these beautiful things for other people. And, you know, there's just like, we can look at it now and appreciate it now and appreciate the beauty, but we need to know history and we need to understand the context out of which these things came and not just see them like one off. And that's a mistake that so many of us make when we look at the day-to-day, is not seeing how it came through, how it evolved. And sometimes people say like, ugh, but history is so boring. History can be boring, okay? But history is teaching us the how we got to today and how we're going to get to the future. So it's important to also, while we're going for the future, to look at the past. And again, that's what Elul is about, the reflection of the things that we have already done that we can't change because there's no restart button. But in a way, there is a restart button. You can't change what you already did, but you can try and fix it in some ways. Will it get fixed? Will it, you know, go back to being perfect? You can try. I just had part of my house repainted, and it wasn't done well the first time, and painter came back to fix it. But you can still see the brush marks, and the paint doesn't exactly match in different places, because there are certain things that if they're not done right the first time, they're just not going to be right. But there's other things that you can patch up. And again, you know, that's part of what we have to do. So one of the things that I've been wanting to do for a long time, I got to do last week, which is we were up north. It's a very Israeli thing to do, to go up to the north, to the Galilee, to the Golan at some point during the summer and enjoy the hikes and enjoy the Kinneret and just the beautiful green part of the country. So we were there last week with some of the kids. And I've wanted to do this for months. Last January, I was in Costa Rica. I've talked about that before, and just had this still hard to absorb experience of nature and Hashem's power in the world, and going from the you know, zooming into like the little things, watching a log like disintegrate while on the other side it's being reborn. Just understand, not to sound like the Lion King, but the circle of life and how really it's always that tension between life and death, and life and death, which is every day, which is really every day, and that's why we have to appreciate it. But I made a very good friend during that trip, who I have not been able to go and see. I was supposed to go visit her for a couple of days a few months ago, and then a very close friend passed away, and I had to stay. Anyhow, finally last week, she lives at the far reaches of the Golan Heights, and I finally got to go see her last week. And what she does is she makes beautiful ceramics. And so I spent the day with her, in addition to buying lots of stuff from her, because she's really very, very talented. I also sat at the pottery wheel. Now, she teaches Pilates and she makes ceramics, and I've been taking Pilates for a while, and I realize the connection now, because it all comes from the core. In order to be able to sit at the pottery wheel, it's the first time in my life that I've done that, you really have to be centered. You have to center the ball of clay in the middle, but you yourself have to be really rooted in order to be able to do that, in order to be able to create something that's halfway decent. And okay, spoiler alert, nothing that I made is going to do anything like it looks like kindergarten stuff. But it was, I've been wanting to for a while get my fingers into clay. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, why is that? Why is it that since Costa Rica, I have felt like I wanted to create something, because I'm not a very creative person. My children are fabulously artistic, especially my daughters, but my stick figures are like laughable. Okay. When I draw, it's just really sad. And I realized when I was sitting there and talking to her, and we're the same age, and talking, of course, what do women do when they're sitting and talking? You talk about children, you talk about life, you talk about friendship, you talk about all that. And I realized that maybe my need to create something more physical is because I'm past the age of having the ability to create people. Not that I've been in the creating people business for a while. My youngest just turned 20. But the ability was there, and to create life. And I can't do that anymore, because that time in my life has passed, which is fine. And it was wonderful. And I think I maxed it out. But now I have this yearning to create something else. And I have friends, and like I said, my daughters, who are very artistic, and I look at them and I'm so happy for them that they can put that and for things that other people can enjoy. And I can't do that. So like I said, what the little pot that I made is not going up for sale anytime soon, but I had this tremendous sense of satisfaction that I'd made something. And it reminded me of a Torah lesson that I went to a few weeks ago, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, during the 9 days, where he spoke about how God gave us the basics, but we had to turn it into something else. All right. And I don't know if I already spoke about this on my show. If I did, just you'll hear it again. It's worth hearing twice. That when we had to go and go to the temple with things to show him how much, you know, we love him and how much we appreciate how awesome he is and the world that he's given us. We didn't take grapes and we don't take wheat and we don't take olives, which is how he gives it to us, the chomer gelem, if you will, in Hebrew, like the basic, the raw material. We have to do something to it. We have to transform it. We have to make the grapes into wine. We have to take the olives and make them into olive oil. We have to bake the wheat and the barley, et cetera, into bread. We have to add to Hashem's creation, which is such a wild thought, okay? He wants us to put in our element of creativity. He didn't finish. He left something for us. So as a woman, as a mother, and I think every woman listening who's had children will understand that to bring life into the world is to really feel at one with the Creator. There's nothing like that when you know that you created life. Like you kind of get a glimmering of what Hashem must feel like. But even when it comes to like the so-called little things like food, you know, when it came to the Beit HaMikdash, when it came to the temple, and please God, when it'll come to that again, we have to add our element, our work, our hishtadlut, our efforts. And so I think that's just like, you know, a message for not just for this month, but just in general. Put in your effort, okay? Just there's too many people that just say like, whatever. No whatevers. And there's no one else out there who's going to do it for you. We all have to put our effort because he's looking at us not to be compared to the geniuses and the Michelangelos. There's no way that I'm ever going to create a David. I'm not Michelangelo. I'm Eve. But maybe if I put my mind to it, I can create something that for me will have been more than I was like born to do, like push myself. So, you know, be satisfied with who you are and where you've gone to, but never lose that like yearning to just be a little bit better than you were yesterday. You don't have to be the best in the world, and we shouldn't be jealous or envious of the people around us who look like they have a talent that we don't have and quite possibly do have a talent that we don't have. We need to each be the best that we can be. And so it was just a great feeling to get some clay under my gel polished manicured nails, but it was a great feeling. And sometimes it's the little things that like give you that, that really sense of satisfaction. It doesn't always have to be the big things, the Nobel Prize, the gold medal in the Olympics. Sometimes it's just doing something that you wanted to do for a while and that just made you feel good. So that is it for today. This is Eve Harrow on Rejuvenation for the Land of Israel Network. Once again, thanks to Tabitha and to Ben and to Jeremy and Ari and all the people who work really hard to get our voices out. And my voice will be on the East Coast in about a week and a half. But until then, I've got a lot of work to do here to leave everything organized. Have a wonderful, wonderful, safe, healthy week, everybody. Chodesh Tov. Have a wonderful month. Eve Harrow from the Judean Hills. Goodbye for now. This is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. My maternal grandparents, Grandpa Morris and Grandma Lily, came to the United States from Russia over 100 years ago. They belonged to the Mizrahi movement way before there was even a state of Israel. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.
Have you ever planted a grapevine? What if the grapevine happened to be in the Land of Israel? Not only that, but if you were a Christian planting this grapevine in the mountains of Israel, you would be fulfilling prophecy that Isaiah and Jeremiah foretold more than 3,000 years ago. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to fulfill prophecy on the mountains of Israel by joining us this harvest. Go to Hayuvel.com, that's Hayovel.com for more information. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.